Well, good morning. We're almost there. If you have a Bible, I wonder if you turn to Acts chapter 4, please, the book of Acts. It's been an outstanding time. I hope that you have enjoyed it. I know I really have, and felt that the grace of God has been so massively kind among us, even with Clem coming in this morning. Thank you so much, Clem. That was brilliant and so insightful. But not only insightful, extremely prophetic, because I'm sure as he started off and spoke about Joshua and crossing over, you'll know that's how we're going to end today, because God spoke to us about that yesterday, that this is a new season. I think Brian picked up on that so much yesterday, and really to trust God that we can cross into his purposes. And so thank you for being here. I have also, I just made a four notes here. Just things that were special to me. I do feel that God's taking us deeper into his presence. I felt that this time being with you, there is an integrity, there is a depth to what we're doing that is very special. And your responsiveness has been fantastic. I thought yesterday morning, where we all fell to our knees, was just a very special moment. I've got a rather rickety knees, but I forgot completely about that, because just the presence of God being among us was fantastic. Also felt that there have been so many timely reminders coming through in the messages. And if you've been listening attentively, you'll see that there's been a theme. There have been things that have been confirmed time and time again. And it's important that even as we move on today, that we don't think, well, that's behind us. Paul and others encouraged us to consider the things that are brought to us. And if you want to grow in God, one of the key things is to sit before God with what's been taught and consider them in the Holy Spirit, because he'll give us further revelation and insight into the purposes of God. I've got a way of, when I keep notes, that if I know God's spoken to me, I've got a special mark I put on the side, so that this coming week I can just sit and go through them quickly and pick up all the things and just let it soak in. So may I really encourage you. And then I really felt in my spirit, Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and he said, as your faith continues to grow, we'll be able to go to the regions beyond, which is where the name of this church family comes from. And I've really felt that our faith is growing, and the time's coming where we are truly going to go to the regions beyond. And I felt a real excitement, because I believe if we can mobilize what we have in this room and across the churches here in the United States, we're going to have some outstanding people spreading out across this nation and into the nations. So I'm very excited about that. And then very lastly, to see the growth in some of the leaders has been fantastic. So may I commend you all. But let me push into the message, because we do want to put a lot of time aside for prayer. And I want to encourage you this morning that as we get ready to pass over, so just to remind you what we're going to do, Joshua sent word with the officers to go in the camp, because God had said, in 3 days you go. And so they prepared themselves, as we heard this morning, and I found that so insightful and so prophetic. I don't think you realized you were speaking into what we're going to do today. Clem, thank you. And isn't God good to us? And they prepared themselves, and I haven't got time to unpack the whole thing, but if you just imagine what they were leaving behind on that side of the Jordan. They were crossing over from years of wandering, from hardship, of wars won and lost, of generations won and lost. And now it was a whole new season that they were going into. And I feel that God really does want to commission us today. And my heart is that as individuals, as we pass through, and that's all we're going to do is pass through, I won't be able to stop very long. The water's going to be stored up in Adam, I think the Bible tells us, for a while. So you're going to have to pass through quickly. But to begin to leave some of the wrong thinking, maybe disappointments, all these things behind, and say, no, this is a new day. There is land for me here, my family, my tribe, my people group. So I'm very excited about that, and particularly this morning after Clem. I'm Going to read to you from the book of Acts, and very grateful to Dr. Luke from Philippi, you most probably likely where he came from, who wrote such a detailed account of what Jesus did while he walked the earth in his, the book of Luke, as we know it, and then continued to write about what Jesus continued to do through his apostles and the church. And following this God-breathed writing is just so wonderful for us to see. Now, in chapter 4, and I'm going to read to you just three quick scriptures, we come across a reference to a man whom I want to speak about today, because I believe that God laid in my heart that this man is a type of disciple that I believe God is looking for in our midst in these days. So I want to hold him up. I want to use him as a plumb line, and I want to just show you a few things which are so remarkably close to what Clem brought us this morning. And so we're just seeing the purposes of God preparing us. The reason that I believe that he is so mentioned in the Bible, in particularly in this chapter, is that Luke picked up, even in the early stages of the church, which is in revival, it's seeing great breakthrough, thousands joining them. Church history, people talk about different sizes of the church in Jerusalem, but thousands upon thousands. But here's this one disciple just lifted up in these verses. And the reason is, I do believe that this was something that was very special to them. And so I want to touch on that. So before crossing over into a new season, I want us just to receive a bit more from the Word of God. Our man is Barnabas of Cyprus. Let's just read. So Acts chapter 4, right at the end. Let's read verse 32 just to get the flavor of what was happening at the time of chapter 4. Now the full number of those who had believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. What a beautiful place to be. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands and houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to each as any had need. Thus, Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Great passage of scripture to get that little insight into the early church. Jump a few chapters and a few years ahead into Acts chapter 9, and you will know the church goes through such trauma and hardship, but glory all thrown in together. The death of Stephen has massive impact in many ways. And chapter 9 starts off, but Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. So it starts off there under enormous pressure. But we know that moment comes when he's in all his pride and arrogance, heads off to Damascus. And on the way, he meets Jesus. I thought, Ray, thank you so much for that insight last night. Really did enjoy it. And he meets Jesus, and it's so wonderful. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And those amazing words, who are you, Lord? Not too many questions asked who it was. And Saul comes into this wonderful, wonderful experience of Jesus. He then gets linked up through the Spirit with Ananias, who I believe is such a hero of the faith. I've often put myself in his shoes and thought, what would I have done? Get behind me, Satan. This can't be God to go and meet Saul of Tarsus. But anyway, he goes and God breaks in. And when Saul, it tells us in verse 26, when he came to Jerusalem, so returning from Damascus, He attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. And, you know, we've got hindsight. You look at it and you think, oh, come on, guys, you know, this is God. But when you're going through what they're going through, you can quite imagine that, you know, who wants Saul in your midst? He had stood there, approved. The church had been broken up and scattered. People had been thrown in prison. Suddenly he says, I'm one of you. But there's our man again, verse 27. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. So there's our man again. Moving on, just another short while. You'll know that thereafter there is a scattering. The people have gone right across the Middle East. And a group of them find themselves in Antioch, which I think was about the third biggest city in that region at the time. So it would have been a very important place. In the Roman Empire. Thank you, Ray. Okay, third largest in the Roman Empire, so definitely very important. And there's suddenly this church bursts forth, this people break out, and instead of being located just among their people group, they start touching all the other people groups in the city until there is this community, as I said on the very first night, this one new man that comes into prominence in the city of Antioch. And so we read as they start really making great breakthrough, it says that the hand, in verse 21, the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. And the report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem. And they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And when he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad. And he exhorted all of them to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose, for he was a good man. A lovely description. Full of the Holy Spirit, Brian, and of faith, Clem. Isn't it amazing, hey? All the words we've been talking about over these last few days. And as a result of this good man arriving in the city of Antioch, it says a great many of people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And for a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. Extraordinary words. And here's a man who has had great impact on my life from the very early days. Just those words, son of encouragement. Because I can remember as a young believer reading my Bible, and I was hungry for the purposes of God. I wanted to play my part in the church, and I was reading in Thessalonians where it speaks about being an encourager in the church, or an aspect of encouragement being released in the church. And as I read that, I felt God speak to me and say, that's what I've called you to be. And so I devoted myself to encouraging, even though I didn't carry any weight in our church at the time. And hence found Barnabas and thought, wow, this is wonderful. So Barnabas has left his mark on the Church of Jesus Christ. He's left his mark on Christianity. And I'm not sure about you, but I think about these things. As Ray was saying last night, he was encouraging, think about what the Bible is saying to us. Put yourself in there and think it through. There's been such a theme to the messages over these days. I feel tremendously encouraged. Tremendously encouraged. It's been a very, very busy year. And coming in here and seeing what's happening, I feel tremendously encouraged with what God is doing. And I'm not sure about you, but I don't want to just live out my days and say, oh, that was nice. That conference was better than the last one. I want us to count. I want my life to count. There's got to be more. I want what we've experienced here to go into places where people don't know this, to hear the great promises we've heard over those days that we can come into Jesus Christ, and suddenly, as I said on the first night, we're right at the center of the purposes of God. We're not told too much about Barnabas, his history. We just know he comes from Cyprus, Levite. But what we see in him is something I have always asked God for. And so I believe this morning as we close, I want to give you just three things that I believe are a launch pad for us as we go into these next months together. The first one is this: Barnabas's attitude to God. Barnabas's attitude to God. The early church was made up of many different communities. Pentecost, it speaks about the city being full of people from all over the known world that came into the city to celebrate that great event. And we're not told when Barnabas was added into the church. And we mustn't miss that word. Just earlier in Acts, it said so many were added. They didn't just attend or come and pop in. They were added in. Many became one. And Barnabas was added in. His introduction is one where he's well along the road already when we hear and we read of him for the first time, following wholeheartedly after God, fully involved and faithful. So in those first scriptures, we hear this man, Joseph, the apostles called Barnabas because of his encouragement gift, takes some land and he lays it down. And as I've considered Barnabas over the years, I think there is something that stands out for me more than anything, and that was, and is, he was sold out to God, sold out for God. His life was just for the purpose of God. He had discovered something. He had found the pearl of great price. He had found it, and just sold out for God. And Luke makes this point right in the beginning where you're seeing him laying down everything. Laying down everything. I've heard lots of teaching and various understandings of about his land and where it was, why he had it. I'm not sure that's so important at this moment. But it's in the action where he's taking something that would define him, provide security for the future, maybe everything that he had, and he takes it and just says, no, this is for God. I found something so more important. Maybe it was a burial plot. Many say it was that. And you say, oh, that's immaterial now. I found something that's got a hope and a future. And so it all changes. Many years ago, as Ray alluded to it last night, we planted a church among a group of people known as the Basutu, a people group in central southern Africa. And the Bible tells us that the gospel is good news for the poor. And these people were poor. I mean, these were the poorest people I've ever worked with in many respects. And so straight away, as we started preaching the gospel and gathering and building the church, the numbers being saved were just astronomical at times. I'm busy writing a book at the moment, and so I've kept quite good journals with accurate accounts of what happened on different days. And even for me reading it, thinking, because we're now in London, we're trusting God to have impact on London, and then I'm reading my journal, 28 saved that day. Prepared for the following week, 64 saved the following week, 62 saved. And so it just went on. You're thinking, wow. But you know what, brothers and sisters, I very quickly learned that in Africa, it is very easy to get a response of hands raised, but a very difficult task to make disciples, true followers of Jesus Christ. Men and women who have the heart of Barnabas, where they lay everything. They find the pearl of great price, this wonderful encounter with God himself. And they want to just say, this is what it's about. I'm going to give my all to this. And very quickly, I can remember getting before God in those moments and saying, Lord, I can't do this. How do we manage this? Because every week it was more people. It was Heather and I, three little boys at the time, very remote setting. And praise God for the likes of Ray and Sue and others, just like you did for John and Floor, they did for us as well. Coming all the way over from England to spend time. And Ray can tell some stories about me. He once said from a platform, this guy knew absolutely nothing. Now I'm sitting up the front. At least you could have said he was a good man, full of faith in the Holy Spirit.
I did say you had faith.
Oh, okay.
I never said you were good.
You were right. But I remember getting before God and saying, God, how do we do this? We don't want to just see hands and hundreds and numbers. We want disciples. If we're going to change this community, we need disciples. And God so sweetly spoke to me and said, what you must do is every Sunday you gather your people, you lay hands on each and every one, and you impart what I've put in you. Because what you can do in a lifetime, I can do in a moment. And so from that very next Sunday, we started praying for everyone. Meetings went from 10 o'clock to about 3:30 in the afternoon. And it was chaos because we were in a very dark place. But God came. There was when we come to Christ, there is this massive positional shift. We've said it so many times from the platform. We were dead, now we're alive. I knew that. But then we had this moment when God changed everything, when we started to encounter the Spirit time and time again. And so a people group started to change. Brian, I cannot thank you enough for that message yesterday. And if you preach that everywhere you go, every time, I'd be very, very happy. Because the generations, the older generation, have fought for the things of the Spirit for us. And we are vulnerable to just thinking, yeah, it's part of what we do. We don't have that same passion and understanding of what a big shift took place when we received the Spirit afresh in the 60s and 70s. When I read about Barnabas, I see here's a man that has encountered God. And when he came into life of the church, his values changed. Everything shifted. You could just see it. His future hope had shifted. He didn't need that land any longer. His focus had become the purposes of God. And if we're going to fulfill our call in for this nation and the nations, this is the type of church I believe we need. Where we can, in the measure of faith we got, and we were equipped this morning, if we can respond to God and say, God, I want to give myself to this, to your purposes. I want to give myself to your purposes, and I believe we need it today. So the first thing we see in this man is that he was sold out. You want to be sold out? Maybe there's some of you this morning as you enter this prayer tunnel, which will be right here in front of me. You want to just say, Lord, my prayer today is I want to be sold out for you. If there's been any passivity, if I've been disinterested, if I've been all these things, I want to leave at that side of the river I'm going through. Make me into the person you want me to be. A true disciple sold out for you. But the second thing, and this ties in so much with what Ray brought to us last night, was his attitude to the church. Barnabas's attitude to the church. It comes through so strongly in so many of the accounts I read. I don't think I'm ever going to think of Ray Lowe in any other way again other than Ray the Merciful. Sorry, Clem, a long story. You'll have to listen to the message. I just thought that was delightful last night. Ray the Merciful. But when you listen, when you read these scriptures, here comes a man, Joseph. He gets added into the church and God starts to change him. He receives the Spirit. He doesn't just bottle it up and say, oh, this is wonderful. I'm now arrived. He gets caught up in the purposes of God through the impact of encountering the Spirit. And eventually we see it even leads to the changing of his name, Barnabas. I think it's a clue, brothers and sisters, of how he functioned in the body. The church was in revival, so much is happening, but in the midst of it, here is this young, passionate, God-filled Joseph giving himself to the purposes of God to such an extent that the body and the apostles, all part of the same body, recognize. I've sat sometimes and I thought, I wonder how that happened, because I have been in meetings where people have renamed people and that, and I found it a little bit religious. This wasn't religious. I think it was relational. I think it was almost a moment like last night with Ray the Merciful, where I'm sure Peter's saying, listen up, everybody, in Solomon's colonnade. That's where they were meeting. Listen up, everybody. Tomorrow morning, we're going to gather early for prayer because we're under pressure from the religious leaders. We need to call out to God. And we've asked a young encourager to lead the meeting. His name is Joseph. Yes, his name is, he's an encourager. Oh, actually, Barnabas. And it would have almost been born in a moment of relationship. Everybody says, ah, he's a Barnabas. And instead of being called Joseph, it follows on. It goes through. It's relational, not religious. Such a gift that they saw it. They saw him functioning. They saw him just overflowing with what God had done. And so came this change of name. Question for you. Leaders, as well as each one of us in the room, what would your friends call you? What would define your walk with Jesus Christ? Interesting question, isn't it? I imagine if we stopped for the next 20 minutes and we went around and for those we knew and said we could help one another, and we do need to. But brothers and sisters, I believe that if we respond to God, if we truly cross over, if we hear the words that have come from this platform over the last few days where God wants everyone involved, everyone released, locally, internationally, wherever we are, we will start to see these gifts coming through in a much more wonderful way. Barnabas was such a gift. Everybody saw it. Barnabas, of course, let's call him that from now on, would have happened. I've often said from the platform that if I had only one gift in my church, and thank goodness we don't, we get the whole lot, it would be the gift of encouragement. I mean, just from the platform, John, yesterday morning when you spoke about, and I saw the emotion rise about, is this what we're called to? And remembered the days of feeling the same things and listening to Clem this morning and others and the hardship, and to have an encourager to come alongside, just to say, keep going. That's why we need each other. That's why we don't do it alone. That's why we work in team. That's why we release gifts and we honor one another. We receive one another. Because if we're going to do it, we're going to need that. But I tell you what, encouragement is right up at the top of my list. Maybe God is asking you to be renamed today. And we're not going to give you names, so I'm not going there. But as I was preparing this, and I felt God just put a few things in my heart. It's interesting that when Paul calls for the Ephesian elders to leave Ephesus and travel across to Miletus on the coast to meet with him, and he wants to give them his final goodbye, and he wants to give them his blessing. He wants to set them in place and make sure they understand everything that God's got for them. It's interesting that in all the instructions, he says that the wolves are going to come from among you. He warns them that there's going to be hardship ahead. And you'd think the wolves will come from within. We're the church, one heart, one mind, one body. But he warns them that in the body, wolves will come. And brothers and sisters, just for a moment, I want you just to reflect of who you are in your local church. Are you a blessing? Because if not, can I ask you today, before you enter this tunnel, say, Lord, I was so scared to use any terms because I know culturally I can get them wrong. But I've been a real pain in the rear end for my leaders. I think it was Gordon MacDonald here in your nation that had the phrase VDPs, very draining people. And he said, sadly, there will always be, if you're a VDP, before you go in this today, say, Lord, I'm leaving that behind. Sorry, I'm being very honest here. But we need it. Just think about, what am I known for? I was in a church eldership in England, helping them through a very difficult time, and I had to stop the meeting and turn to the one brother and say, my dear friend, you think you're God's watchdog. He doesn't need a watchdog. He's able to look after himself. You're here to serve. Because everything this poor leader was trying to do, this guy was barking at him. Think about who you are and just, it's time to change if you need to. Is that okay? Barnabas understood church. He really understood it, got renamed in it. And some years later, when we hear of the breakthrough in Jerusalem, and particularly that most of the, in Antioch, that most of those that had gone to Antioch were from Cyprus, Barnabas' home island. He gets sent. The apostles say, right, we need to send someone to find out what's going on. Who do we send? Let's send the encourager who understands church, whose walk is the same as his talk. Let's send him. And if we're going to be ascending people, and once again, Clem, thank you so much for your insight this morning. All the bells of my heart were ringing this morning, like Westminster Abbey in London. Because if we're going to be ascending people, which is exactly what I believe is the times we're living in, we're going to have to be people who are mature and understand church. And so Barnabas goes up there, and the first thing that happens is that it says he saw the grace of God. 1977, I traveled from where we were about to plant, or had we planted? 1995, maybe. Ooh, it was before. Anyway, just before we planted, we traveled to a conference like this of our church movements at the time. And the speaker was none other than Ray the Merciful. And I'll never forget, Ray, that first message you've preached. I've heard you preach it many times since then, and I just say, please keep preaching it. He asked the question, Barnabas saw the grace of God. What did he actually see? And if I remember, you gave us seven things, maybe eight. I'll have to look at my notes. I've got them if you need them. But Barnabas was equipped. He was a man who understood church, that as he walked in, he was able to say, grace of God is here, because look, there's generosity, there's joy, there's relationship, there's understanding, all these wonderful things. If you've not heard Ray preach that, leaders, ask him to do it in your church. I've been joking this morning about Ray the Merciful, but I want to tell you what John described earlier of planting and having friends that come is so important for us. When I listened to Clem this morning and the struggles he's going through, Heather and I have also been going through a tremendous struggle with our youngest son. Just really hit a patch in his life that has been so difficult. We love him. He's really got going for God this year, and then bang, real difficulty. And because it doesn't matter what role we play in any church, any movement, we always want accountability and openness, because that's how we'll build something true. And so I shared with Ray, I don't know how long ago, a couple of weeks ago, I said, Ray, we got a tough one on our hands. I might need your help. And then he left and went to America, which I thought wasn't very merciful. But the other day he asked me, how's it going? And I said, it's tough. And I think you got that name right, because he said to me, how's it going? And I said, it's really not going well at the moment. It's been all consuming for Heather and I. It's been one of the biggest things we've carried for quite a long time. This man's response, as soon as I get back to England, would you like me to go? My son lives in the Middle East, my youngest son. And that's the care that we need. Ray the Merciful. Sorry, Sue is traveling again by the sound of things. I sent Heather a message and I said, oh, Ray offered to go. And Heather's not a very over-the-top person. When I send a message on WhatsApp, it's always got about 6 exclamation marks in it. I don't know why. I'm always passionate in WhatsApp messages. You'll see it come through. Heather never uses them. On this one, I said, Ray's willing to go. She said, oh, fantastic. That'll be just what we need, exclamation marks. So let's see what God does. But brothers and sisters, we need leaders who are sold out for God. We need leaders and all of us, sorry, not just leaders, let me not use that. We need disciples who are sold out for God because it's the whole church. We're an apostolic people group, not a team of apostles, apostolic people group. We need to be sold out for God, but equally so, we need to understand church. Thirdly and lastly, before we go into our prayer tunnel and set us on our way, I want to highlight, thirdly, Barnabas' attitude towards leadership. His attitude towards leadership. I don't think I've ever lived in a time in the years that I've been alive where leadership is so confusing at the moment. I've lived now, I'm living in my the third nation that Heather and I have lived in. And in every case, in nations' leadership, there's so much confusion. In many cases, this is caused by none other than the leaders themselves. There's a great book by Donovan Campbell called The Leadership Code. Love it. It's one of the most outstanding leadership books I've read. And he calls it, we're living in a time where there is a leadership disease. He said it's a widespread destruction of trust in leaders has left a leadership vacuum that is slowly becoming filled with despair. And I think it's quite true. I can remember when we were trained for leadership, the emphasis was always on character. Character, 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 character. But nowadays, when you pick up leadership books, they're all about success. And we start to measure and we start to follow leaders because of their success. And it's almost we've become blinded that we don't even worry what the character is like behind the leader, as long as he's successful. As I prepared this morning, I felt even in this room, there might be some of you who have had really bad experiences in church leadership. That even devoting yourself to the purposes of God, you might feel, I just cannot go there again. Well, may I from the platform ask for forgiveness for any leadership abuse you faced or being let down or whatever it is. But may I ask you, go into this prayer tunnel today and say, Lord, I'm leaving that behind and I'm going to give myself afresh to those that you've placed over me. Those you've placed over me. Ephesians 4 says, when he ascended, he gave gifts. What were they? They were gifts of leaders. It's a gift from God. And do we all get it right? No, we're all a work in progress. We really are. That's why we need each other. The writer to the Hebrews says, obey your leaders and submit to them. Ooh, that's not a word the world likes to hear any longer. Clem made a lovely statement. I wrote it quickly on my iPad. Who are you under? Who are you under? Because that's what this is saying. Submit to them. It's submission is coming into liberty. It releases you. Bring that up in the world. Oh, dear. You're in trouble. He says, obey your leaders, submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Leaders, let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. We need to make our leaders' lives lives of joy. Make the task one of joy. And that's for all of us. For those of us leading, working in teams, help the others. I want to bring you joy. I want to submit my life to you. I want to give myself to you. And I believe that Barnabas shows this in three ways. It comes through you. I'm going to touch on them quickly, and then we'll pray. And the first one is that word submission. When he goes and it says, and I don't think that Luke is missing it. He's inspired by the Spirit. He said he lays it at the apostles' feet. That wasn't a sign of some hierarchical organization, that was the pattern of things that happened. Otherwise, Luke wouldn't have even mentioned it. It was a one-off. Here comes this man and just saying, I had this property. I'm giving myself to what we are called to do. I'm giving myself. The church were looking after so many who had been displaced because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Barnabas saw it. He saw that the church was able to care for one another, so he gave his all. And what was he saying in this act of submission? I am with you. I believe in what you're doing. I trust you, and I'm fully behind this vision that you've called me to do. When last did you go to your church leader and give them a high five and say, thank you so much for what you're doing for us? Will they get it all right? I'm afraid not. But I can tell you one thing. As I've worked here in America with the people we're working with, I can see the heart of men and women who are devoted to God. We want to get this right. Let's help one another. Otherwise, it's of no value to you. There's no value in it. The second thing is, so this is under Barnabas' heart for leadership, is servant-hearted. Willing to serve one another. Thank you, all of you involved in serving us over these days. It's been outstanding, absolutely outstanding. But we see this in Barnabas. He just serves and serves. No matter what he is doing, he continues to serve. He continues to serve. He didn't serve until he got appointed by the apostles over the church in Antioch. He didn't stop there. He kept serving. He kept serving. And even when he started to have, so if you listen to that lovely scripture, sorry, Acts chapter 9, I'm getting ahead of myself here. Acts chapter 9, he is serving Paul, Saul at the time, by going to fetch him, say, come, they don't want to meet you, but you come with me. That reminds me of Jesus. That reminds me of the heart of Jesus. There was no way we could be reconciled but through Jesus. And so here's this Jesus-like man saying, come on, come. I'll be your redeemer. You come with me. Guys, this guy is with us. Let me tell you what's been happening. He stands up for him. What a servant heart. He steps in and brings togetherness, and how grateful we are because of so much of what we've received. And thirdly and lastly, his humility in leadership. His humility in leadership. What is humility? All humility is really good self-reflection. Being able to reflect on ourselves and say, being realistic. It's a realistic reflection. This is who I am. And when you realize that, and you realize that you are who you are because of what Jesus has done, then all the fancy lights and the big names and the success and the corporate church ladder and who you are, how many people, all those things just fall away. Because when you sit quietly before the Lord and you reflect on your life, you realize, wow, I shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't be doing this, but for the grace of God. And Barnabas, he shows this when he arrives in Antioch and he sees the grace of God. And it says a great number of people were added. And he's in the situation. It's his first opportunity for personal success. It's a time where he could say, listen, we're going to name this. We're not going to call this the Christians anymore. This is going to be Barnabas' Ministries International Incorporated. It was his chance. It was his thing. But he looks at the body In his humility, he reflects and thinks, I'm not sure I know how to take Jews and Greeks and this one and that one and make them one. Because the church had touched all the different quarters, the Hebrew quarter, the Roman quarter, the Greek quarter in the city. But he thinks, I know somebody. I know somebody who has an understanding of this. And so he leaves the church and he goes and fetches another who would eventually become a much greater gift, as we know. Although that's debatable. What humility, a realistic view of ourselves. If we're going to fulfill all God wants for us, brothers and sisters, I believe that we need to be sold out for God. Just like we read here. And I hope that I can stir you enough and that God has over these days for you to say, I'm going to give my life for this. In my way, in the way God's gifted me, play my part. We're not all the same. Have the right attitude towards church. Hopefully in the different teachings, you've got a fresh view. We're this called out people, this one new man. No longer Jew or Gentile, but they've come together as one new man, created by Jesus himself, the church of Jesus Christ. I hope that as you do that, it'll stir your gift and release that the people say, this is Ray the Merciful, JR the Joker. I heard that in the emails. Yeah, that's not bad, eh? No, I'm teasing. I wish time would allow that we could speak over one another. Is that young lady, Kyla, I think your name was, are you here this morning? Kayla, is she here? There you are. Is your mum and dad here or not? Okay. Just very quickly, sorry, I just saw it in my notes. I felt God speak to me this morning that you must go learn that other language. And it was interesting having John up here speaking. And I was really asking God, I thought, what is this about? Sorry, Mom. But I really believe that God's going to raise you up. I gave you that word yesterday. But this morning as I was doing this, I felt God speak to me, go learn that language. Maybe speak to John Evans. Where are you, John? I can't believe what you said earlier. It was such an easy thing to do, learn Portuguese. Oh, he said he liked it. It wasn't easy. But Kayla, go and learn that other language. I did pray and ask God what language it is, but I don't want to add to anything that's not of God. But I believe God wants to do it. Is that okay? And very lastly, God wants us to have a wonderful togetherness as we honor those that we work with, those who are over us. Clem, thank you so much again for that today. Who are you under? What a safe place. So easy for us to live secret lives. We can have all the Facebook things and all the Twitter, and you can tell people all sorts of things. But behind, a lot can be going on. But if we open ourselves, give ourselves to it, brothers and sisters, we bring this to a close today. We come to that time where we want to really give ourselves to God. I wonder if you could just put down all your Bibles, put it to the side, and I wonder if you could just put your hands out and thank you, John. I wonder if I could just run through a few things that God laid in my heart with regard to about what we're going to do now. So let's just pick on the one that I emphasized a moment ago. Have you lost faith in leadership? Can you make that decision right now to forgive, to release? Say, Lord, I'm not going to hold this any longer. I'm going through. I'm crossing over. I'm going to learn to serve my leaders all over again. Maybe you've had a lack of understanding of true church that we've looked at over these days. You've seen something fresh. Maybe you want to just say, Lord, I'm leaving behind any apathy or anything like that that's holding me back from fulfilling all you've called me to fulfill. Think of John's word about Abraham. Absolutely outstanding. A people of promise. He had his name changed as well. Exalted Father, he becomes Father of Nations. What does God want to do for you today as you change your heart towards church? Maybe you're serving fears. Maybe they're fears that are holding you back. Matt encouraged us earlier to stand firm against those other voices that come and rob and steal. So you're even sitting here this morning and saying, I'm not going through any tunnel. Maybe there's fear. Why don't you take a chance in God this morning? Say, Lord, change me. Change me. Just for a moment, reflect on what God has put in you. The gifting God's given you. Maybe it's being held back by disappointments. I found it very difficult to share the gospel with anyone as a younger believer. I had such a fear of man. Couldn't open my mouth until someone just prayed over me. I break that fear of man. And so I was able to move on. Think about your gift now and say, Lord, I'm crossing over with this. Bring it to life. Let me serve in the church that people will call me Karen the prophet, prophetess. Whatever gift it is. Father God, we know you have the most wonderful calling on us. We thank you that the nations are awaiting. They're waiting. This state is waiting. Thank you, Jesus. Spokane is waiting. May I just say, if you are, just keep your eyes closed, if you're a couple who may be just entering retirement or you're able to be quite flexible, I wonder if there's not one or two families who would move to Spokane to be with John and Miriam. If you're not sitting here today and God just prodding you and saying, oh, that could be you, go for a couple of months, give them a year, say, hey, we're going to come and fellowship with you, we're going to come and help you build. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, as we close off today, Lord, we want to say to you, please take us on. We don't want to miss out, Lord, on all you've got for us. We want to love one another, genuine brotherly and sisterly love. We want to serve our local church. We want to be a sending church. We want to be a releasing people. We want to fulfill your call in our generation in these days. Father, would you heal us now as we walk through this tunnel? It's such a simple thing, but yet, Lord, you seem to love those moments. Would you change lives, Lord, even as we take steps of faith? Change us. Change us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Low self-esteem, Lord, deal with it, we pray. Insecurities, Lord, deal with them, we pray, Lord. Where do I fit? Deal with that, Lord. Add them today, we pray, that together we can move on. In Jesus' name.